Oh, yeah, this is the Macho Verse, and you're listening to the Listening Party Podcast. Yeah!
Hello and welcome to another brand spanking new episode of the Listening Party Podcast, a conversational music podcast where every episode is a different theme. New episodes are released the first Monday of the month. With me, as always, is my lovely co-host, Denise.
Hello.
And Denise, please let all the podheads know who's joining us this month.
All right. Today we have Aaron, who is a fellow educator, wrestling fan, cosplayer, social media influencer. You might know him as the Machoverse. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Speaking into the audio scope. Yeah. I'm going to use my regular voice most of the time. Thank you for having me on the pod. Podheads. That's great. That made me laugh.
Yeah.
So Aaron has actually held Macho Man's like little chonies in his hands, his trunks.
Oh, damn.
Right?
That's right. Yeah. I have the 99 pants from the movie Ready to Rumble. Have you seen that with David Arquette?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah, dude. Yeah. So those pants with the metal links circles in them. And what else? And then I was at a major collector's house about a month ago, and I got to hold and try on all of these jackets and robes that Macho Man wore. So
oh, damn.
It's very humbling, yes. And I got to wear sunglasses a couple times, a couple jackets at the auction place, a hat or two. Man, it's crazy. I'm losing track. You know, it's so much. First time, yeah. Amazing.
I just think that's like awesome or whatever. And I do, like, I watch those reels of you modeling.
Oh, thank you. Yeah. Like, and when I put them on, it doesn't like click to me. It's like a few hours later, the next day, I was like, whoa, man, that was like really Macho Man's jacket. Because you know, you're in the zone, you're like, oh, try this thing. Cool. And then it's like, whoa, wow, the magnitude of it.
Yeah.
Later.
That's why you've lost track or whatever, but is there one that just like sticks out where you're like, oh my gosh, like maybe like one match or something? Or
yeah, the one it would be the Macho King robe. It's like a pinstripe gold and black stripes. It's very shiny. Mm-hmm. So that, because my wife made me a replica of it a couple of years ago, and to wear the real one and actually to see how it changed from gold to silver over time, because that's what happens to some of those metallic materials.
Yeah.
My wife. Yeah. So that was a big one. Yeah, for sure.
Nice. That's cool. Yeah. I grew up with wrestling. Like, my dad watched wrestling, and I wouldn't say that I'm a big wrestling fan anymore because I don't follow it anymore. Like, I kind of fell off after the Attitude Era, but I just wanted.
Most of us, yep.
Yeah. That was the best. And then it was downhill from there. But anyways, I just wanted to know, like, how did you initially get into wrestling?
Yeah. So I grew up in Poughkeepsie, which is home of the Mid-Hudson Civic Center, where Macho Man actually debuted for WWF with Miss Elizabeth in 1985, I believe. So growing up, they had Monday Night Raw at the Civic Center in my town, like a few months out of the year. I never went because I thought my parents wouldn't take me. I was like 4 or 5, 6, maybe.
Oh, yeah.
So when I found out it was choreographed, I really didn't care anymore. And I'm like, I don't care about wrestling. So I would look at WWF magazine, you know, clips every now and then when I was a little kid, but it didn't really pop out till I was at a sleepover party on a Sunday night, and it was WrestleMania 14. Stone Cold beats Shawn Michaels for the title. I was like, man, wrestling's cool. It was the Attitude Era. And we're like, wow, like Mike Tyson's there. Like, oh my God, like this is really cool. And my friends were into it. It was like mainstream. So I think we were freshmen in high school. And I remember just being so obsessed after I saw that. I was like, wow, I'm trying to backtrack and learn all the characters. And I'm on the WWF website all the time. And, you know, then short after that, we got into WCW and then ECW. And that's when I started attending live shows. And my mom took us to see SummerSlam in 98, which was Stone Cold against The Undertaker. Yeah, that same year. So from then on, it was full speed ahead.
Nice.
How did the character of the Machoverse come about?
Yeah, so got back into wrestling, watched it for a while, watched over the pandemic. I met my wife before the pandemic, and she said on the second date or first date, if things work out, I can make you your own wrestling costume, because she's been a costume designer for many years in Vegas with Cirque du Soleil and some other shows. Yeah, big time.
Yeah.
So we went to Burning Man, and she made me like kind of like a Macho Man inspired giant cape robe that like, you know, swings in the wind of the desert, gold, and also like some spandex pants. And I had this Macho Man tank top and a bandana and some glasses. So we actually had a wrestling match at one of the Burning Man camps called Nacho Campo. They had a makeshift ring, and I wrestled my wife. And then after that, they were like, you got to wrestle the champion now. And it was like some Nacho Libre looking guy. So I wrestled him. My foot was on the ropes, I think, but they didn't see it, the referee, and I lost. Anyway, so we moved to New York City a couple of years later. And I was thinking, to my wife, I said, you know, it'd be a funny costume idea if it was a mashup where instead of Macho Man, it was Macha Man. And it was all like, you know, instead of the shirt where the sunglass t-shirt, right? Where you see his silhouette and the sunglasses. Mm-hmm. Instead of pointing, he's holding a teacup. And then like the pattern on the costume is like, you know, a swirl from matcha tea and all this stuff.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
My wife had put it together. And we went to the New York City Halloween parade. And I was like, wow, that was fun. We actually got into the parade because we were like, we can't watch the parade. This is boring. So we got in. My wife was a Miss Elizabeth parody called Miss T. Elizabeth, and she was all wearing green as well. So we did that. And then I started going to wrestling shows as Macha Man. And I had a green wig. I had a straw hat, you know, kind of like kind of goes with the, you know, the matcha thing. You know, I have like rustic straw and whatnot. So I went to a front row seat at TNA Slammiversary in Poughkeepsie at the Civic Center where it all began. And a friend of a friend saw me and he said, hey, that show on Disney, Moon Knight, just ended. We want to do a parody called Macho Knight. Would your friend want to do it? And I was like, oh, hell yeah. So for that, I was Macho Man now, not Macha Man. And I wasn't used to that. I would constantly correct people and they were like, oh, yeah, Macho Man. I was like, it's Macha Man. Oh, yeah. The T always rises to the top. So my friend took some stills while we were filming and I saw it afterwards. I'm like, damn, I kind of like Macho Man in these pictures. I should try maybe being regular Macho Man. That would be fun. So my wife made a couple of the NWO style costumes for the next convention, which was Brooklyn Comic Con. And that was the first one I went to. I didn't know a single person. I went to that as Macho Man wearing all the madness stuff. And man, it was a big hit. Never broke character. From then on, I started going to wrestling shows and just dressing up as different casual Macho Man. And eventually I was like, you know what? I got to write ideas. And when we started writing ideas down and making scripts and being more organized, myself and Dusty Tribute, you know, we started getting really a lot of attention and our videos got very popular. So long story short, yeah, moved to New York City and here we are now.
Nice. I'm sorry.
I'm immersed in the convention, the cosplay convention environment, as well as the wrestling shows over here. So yeah. Here we are.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I guess I forgot to like tell Rod. I mean, I don't think I knew that deep into it, but I kind of had like a gist of everything.
And how I met Denise, one time she shared one of my videos in early days. I used to send people like a spam sentence in all caps to be like it was like a comment, I think. I would reply to stories and I would put a comment and be like, ooh, yeah, there's more where that came from. Follow the Macho Verse for even more madness. And then it was like, you know, finger pointing and a sunglasses thing. And she was like, what did she say? Something was like, oh, Macho spam. And then she reshared it. So then we ended up following each other and we were very friendly. And then I listened to her music and stuff and I put it on my playlist.
That's yeah. Here we are. It was.
She called me out. She called me out for it. It's Macho spam.
I remember that. No, I said spam for spam. And I was like, oh yes, I was like, if that's you right. are spamming me, I'm going to spam you with my album or whatever. Yes,
that's what it was. And it worked out. It was a wrestling song. Mick Foley.
Yeah. So good times.
Absolutely.
And then I found out you were an educator. So I was like, this just like all works out or whatever. So
nice.
Good people.
You guys are teachers too?
No,
well,
not me,
I'm
not
a teacher.
Oh, right. I don't think I knew that or I forgot that.
But yeah, so thank you for all of that information. I love it. And Rod needed to like dive in a little bit deeper.
I needed to catch up, yeah.
And I think listeners too, if they're not familiar with you.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah.
And if I could just throw one more thing in. So what the early popular things were, it wasn't until there was a lip sync video people were doing for a cup of coffee in the big time. And everybody was doing Macho Man videos. And I'm like, damn, I already dressed up like him. So I did mine and I got dressed up. I had a Mean Gene puppet and all this stuff. And after a couple of weeks, it started to pick up steam and it kind of went semi-viral. Like Frank Caliendo was commenting. We were like, oh, my God.
Oh, that's
and then a week later, Dusty was like, we hung out for one of the first times. And I actually met him at a show dressed up, and so was he. But anyway, he's like, hey, man, I'm going to pick you up from the train station. Got lost. So I'm walking. He goes, yo, pretend that you're hitchhiking when I pick you up. So I'm making videos on my end being like, yeah, I'm hitchhiking. What the hell? Where is this guy? And he's making videos on his end. And we put them together, and it's like Macho Man gets picked up by Dusty hitchhiking, and that kind of like went a long way. I'm like, wow, 300,000 views. And the next week I went to Italy. My wife's like, bring the glasses, bring the bandana. And I did like a promo in front of the Lean Tower Pisa and a promo in front of the Coliseum. So I always bring it.
Yeah.
Suggestions. I loved the Disneyland ones when you came over here to California. I was watching all of that. I was like, oh, look, he's at Universal.
I love it over there.
Oh, man.
It beats Florida, definitely.
As much as like we are wrestling fans, we actually just did wrestling songs last episode with our buddy Rudy.
I was going to say we're becoming a wrestling podcast now. That's two in a row.
But you did not pick a wrestling theme for today. So I just wanted you to share the topic for today.
Yeah, I didn't want to be too obvious with that, but I did pick a wrestling song though. The topic is college.
Woo. Yes. I love that it's general. We haven't had just like a general topic like in a really long time.
Oh, really?
Time.
Yeah. I was playing the game correctly. Okay.
I don't know. Lately, the artists have just been like really, really specific. And I'm just like, oh my gosh. Like
dropping your Galaxy S24 Ultra on your foot this week. I did that this week. Anyway, go on.
So yeah, like it's very general. We'll do a little sandwich here where I think Rod's going to go first, right?
No, you go first.
I go first this time? Okay, so I'm going to go first, and then I'm going to share my song from college, and then you're going to share your song about why you picked that song from college, and then Rod will go.
Cool.
But yeah, so I'm glad it was very general. I wasn't sure, like, if I wanted to go with a band that somebody recommended to me, or if it was just, if I just wanted to go with something, like, nostalgic, like, I remember sitting waiting for my classes, on a chair outside like the classroom door, you know what I mean? I have two bands, Modest Mouse and Mazzy Star, which are just like takes me back exact to that exact chair where I would just be sitting for my class to start with my iPod and my earbuds in
my iPod.
Yeah.
iPod.
My little brown backpack with my Pearl Jam patch on it, and yeah, like doodling in my notebook or whatever, or on my notebook cover, you know. But I decided to go with a band that someone recommended to me. I don't know. For some reason, I was probably looking for a stupid song on MySpace for my MySpace page.
Copy.
And Anthony, my buddy, we were in the same major. We're kinesiology majors. And he looked over and he was like, oh, he's like, have you heard of Beirut? And at the time we called it Beirut, okay? Like, I guess everyone calls it Beirut now. But at the time,
beer pong.
What?
Oh, that's what people used to call beer pong.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Beirut. Yeah. In some places, beer pong was played with paddles. So some kids would come to college, be like, let's play Beirut. We're like, what? They're like, beer pong is played with paddles.
Oh, damn.
Beirut. Oh, damn.
Sorry.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
Anyways, so he was like, you should check out that band, like this band or whatever. And the first song that I listened to was Elephant Gun. And like, I just fell in love. I love horns. And it just like spoke to me, and Rod and I like have seen them a couple times since. And yeah, like this band just always reminds me of Anthony and being in the computer lab and on MySpace. And the song that I picked is called La Llorona.
La Llorona.
Oh yeah, La Llorona.
I saw the movie.
Yeah. I haven't seen it. I'm scared.
Have you seen The Real Lady? Like
in my nightmares? Not yet.
But anyway, so I actually use this song for one of my lessons. So I work with students with special needs. It's just a simple like beat for my students to move right to left, and then we go forward and back, and like, you'll hear it.
Like, it's kind of like a weird song to use in like APE.
Nah, the kids don't know.
No? Like, okay.
The teachers love it. I've been using this since like my student teaching days, and like it's super simple, and the kids love it when we like turn. Like, you'll hear it. Like, I hope that you'll hear it. So just, like, think right, left. You'll hear it when you turn, and then we go in, we move forward, and then we move out. Like, we're working on directions.
Awesome.
And
you got a whole routine set up for it.
Yeah, I got a whole little routine and lesson around this song, so you could play my song.
Mm-hmm.
We're holding hands in a circle, by the way.
Oh,
I think
okay.
I forgot.
Oh, okay. I can see that.
Yeah.
So very simple song.
Yeah.
And Anthony is also an APE teacher now, so it just reminds me of college.
APE Teachers Unite.
I've never heard that song in my life. My wife probably knows it very well, I'm sure. We had very different college experiences, all of us. Like. He was a hippie at SUNY New Paltz.
Well, while the song was playing, you said that it reminds you of, like, you could picture, like, Zorro or something?
Yeah, like toward the end.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe like, what's that movie with Steve Martin and Martin Short, Three Amigos?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like something like that. It's like a final, you know, final showdown. He's getting ready with the townspeople that he deputized to help Zorro.
Yeah,
for sure.
I see that.
Yeah. No, yeah, I remember when you shared that band with me back in the day. Yeah, I was just like, oh my God, this sounds so different. It has a very like world music vibe to it.
Yeah, it does. It's totally different. Mm-hmm. It's, yeah, definitely a cultural thing. What genre would you classify that as?
Oh, I don't know. Like,
nobody
indie?
Knows. It.
Yeah. I just think it was indie at the time.
Well, I feel like indie, they just kind of put it at, like, an umbrella for everything that came out in, like, the early 2000s or something. Like, oh, that's indie, bro. That's indie. If it's The Strokes, it's like, oh, that's indie. Even though it's more like garage rock now. I feel like they would... I feel like world music is very... Even though it's technically not world music because it's... here
they're from the United States.
Anyway.
But what was I gonna say? Well, the album came out in 2009. It's off of March of the Zapotec and Real People Holland. You're gonna say that they put on a good show?
Oh yeah they put on a great show. Like Denise mentioned, we've seen them maybe like two or three times.
Yeah,
we just always enjoy seeing them because their drummer is just really funny. He just always has like the biggest smile on his face the whole time he's playing.
Yeah. For whatever reason, I'm always looking at the drummer when we go to a show. it's different every time how they play, their posture.
That's cool. Yeah. That's an experience every time.
Yeah.
But this guy's always smiling, just like the biggest smile on his face, like the whole time. I was like, doesn't your face hurt? Like,
yeah, dude.
I like to watch them too. When I went to see Weird Al like over the summer, we were just looking at the band members. We were just so into it. They're dancing as they're singing.
Yeah, for sure.
Very happy drummer there too.
Mm-hmm. And dude, Weird Al is like, oh, he's so awesome. Like
he's the best.
We've seen him once, and that was like, I was like, okay, like I'm good. Like this is, you know, my icon right here.
Yeah.
Like as far as like music and like novelty songs and stuff.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Like in July, he was doing the massive costume changes. He did the whole fat suit for fat and had the prosthetics and everything.
Yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
Awesome.
Nice. Alrighty. So before we jump into your song, if I struggle with this, but I am not like at the following that you are at. Like, do you allow students, like coworkers? Huh. I mean, you can't, sure. There's nothing you can do to stop it, but I mean, do you have students and...
The other day a kid, this is like the second week of school, so I've known these kids for like 5 or 6 days. This kid was like, oh, mister, I saw one of your videos. And I go, oh, cool. And that's it. When you're a kid and you're like, I know the teacher's first name.
That's so annoying.
Like, oh, don't say that.
Yeah, it's like,
oh, okay, who cares? And then they stop. It's like that for me. Last year, I don't advertise it. Yeah. This year, the new kids don't even know. They have no idea. Mm-hmm. I threw an Easter egg when I was showing them. They were doing a difference between primary and secondary sources. Mm-hmm. So I would have like a real artifact and then like a replica. Mm-hmm. It was like Michael Jordan, you know, game worn jersey, authentic. And then one from like, you know, the like Foot Locker. Mm-hmm. So then the next slide was, I'm like, here's like a wrestling cosplayer or something, right? This guy's wearing, this is the original Macho Man Randy Savage, Macho King robe. And then on this picture, he's wearing, I guess, like a replica that his wife made him or something. Like, which one's which? And none of them even stopped to think, oh, is that you? Who is this guy? And I'm like, oh, that guy's kind of cool, I guess. And then when you walk into my classroom, there is the picture that was in the New York Times from the first time we did Subway Mania with them. And I'm standing there as Macho Man. So, usually I'm open about it. I show them, yeah, so I did this summer. And my pictures of this year, I'm like, no, I'll let them find out on their own. I'm going to just play it cool for now. But the principal is very supportive of it because for me, my whole philosophy with teaching, I mean, besides like the regular stuff is with me personally, I want to be left alone. So I'm going to do my job the best I can and do whatever's asked of me so that I can enjoy everything else. So I don't take work home with me. Some students know, they kind of move on with it. Last year, I had a couple students that did follow me and then they would say like real quick when they got to class, hey, oh, mister, I was watching all your videos in the bus. They were fire. Oh. I'm like, oh, thanks. Or sometimes there will be a kid live when I'm on like TikTok live. I'm in like indie after Royal Rumble. And I'm like, oh, I'm all hyped up. And I'm like, oh, God. And the kid's like, hey, mister, it's me. And I'm like,
oh, Jesus. Oh,
yeah. Gosh. So a couple, I think the coworkers, some of them do. Yes, some do. A couple I've gone out with before as Macho Man. I was Macho Man for a ninth grade team meeting a couple of years ago. We were going to AEW after work and I had to change at work. So I was the NWO Macho Man with lightning bolts and I had my beard all like painted black while I was in my meeting. So my coworkers have seen me a couple of times.
Nice.
And then, but I mostly no sell it, as they say to the kids.
But then, I mean, for Halloween, aren't you Macho Man like every Halloween?
Yeah, yeah. There was one year I was Macho Man for Halloween. I was the cream of the crop one with I had like jeans, bandana, you know, the purple t-shirt and whatnot. And then it just happened to be like I was away last year for Halloween. And then the year before, I forgot. I think it was on a weekend or something, or I was off that day. Yeah. So they've only seen me once. I was Undertaker a few years back I started doing all of this.
That's cool.
Yeah.
I was Macho Man last year, right? I think it was last year. Mm-hmm. And I went to school and they usually have like the candy parades or whatever, like the parade for the parents and stuff. So sure. I go help and I help. I'm an itinerant, but I just pick a school like and I help them like just walk with the students around because it's a little bit more difficult to like hold everyone's hands and stuff. So I went and one of the aides, she's like super young, like way younger than me. And she was like, hey, miss. Cool costume. She's like cowboy lady. And I was like, what? And then like the teacher looked over and he was like, she's the Macho Man. And he's like, what? Hell and yeah. I was like, oh my gosh.
Either you know or you don't. And if you don't know, I'm like, hey, have you seen Spider-Man? Like, I still don't know. And then I'm like, I can't help you.
Yeah.
I don't know. You don't talk to me. Go away.
I thought you were a cool disco cowboy.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But it was
funny. That's great. I've gotten Hulk Hogan a few times.
Oh my gosh.
At Hollywood Studios, like last week, I was getting in line to meet Frozone, and this guy working there was like, I've seen better Hulkers before. I'm not impressed. And I was like, I'm actually Macho Mouse. I'm not Hogan. And I go, Hulker? What are you talking about? Anyway.
I know.
I try to stay in character when that happens, so I'm not like actually getting angry.
But yeah.
It leaks out.
Yeah.
Alrighty. So, Aaron, do you want to share your song?
Yes. It was really hard not to pick Pink Floyd because they're my favorite band in the world. And I have a lot of moments that are tied to them. But I thought college would be a fun theme. And, you know, the whole Macho Man thing, I got to stick with that. So for me, it is. So when I was in college, I think I was a senior or so. Yeah. Macho Man had just come out with a rap album. I stopped watching wrestling when college started, I think, because I was all like, oh, party, drinking, you know, girls, all that stuff. So people that still watched it, I was like, you still watch that? Lame, I think in my head. Then Macho Man came out with an album. And I was always a big Macho Man fan when I was a wrestling fan. So, yo, you got to hear this, man. He's got a full rap album. We never ever listened to the whole album until like after college. But it was only the one main song. It was called Be a Man. And it was a rap diss song against Hulk Hogan. And he was like being serious with it. So we would like rap this all the time. Every time we got drunk and went to a party, we were like, be a man. And we would have a lot of sororities and we would always tell them, be a man, like Melissa, whatever. Like, we were just always telling everyone to be a man. We were always singing this song throughout my whole senior year of college. So that's when it came out and that's what it reminds me of all the time.
Nice. All righty, we're going to play a clip of that right now.
Awesome. I can't wait. Hulk Hogan, Hollywood Hulkster, whatever they call you. After you, you coward. I dig it in, hope and play. You set it off. Set it off. Used to be hard, Hulk. Now you done turned soft. Doing telephone commercials, I seen ya. Dancing and tight as a ballerina. I knew all along you had those tendencies. Cause you've been running from macho like I got a disease. Dude, please. Your pay-per-view event was a joke. You're avoiding Randy Savage cause you know you can smoke. Come on, that phony fight the rock straight too fast. But when I challenged Hogan to a real fight, he passed. I called him out, but the punk was scared to go. It was a charity event, but the Hulk didn't show. Hollywood Hulkster, you're at the end of your rope. And I'ma kick you in the butt and wash your mouth out with soap. Cause, like Rodney Dangerfield, you get no respect. So come on, Hulk, let's wreck so I can put you in check. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared. You're running from macho, that's what I heard. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be a chump. I never thought Hulk would go wild like a punk. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared. You're running from macho, that's what I heard. Be a man, Hogan. Boy, you's a chump. Cause Hulk Hogan is a real big punk. They call you Hollywood. Don't make me laugh. Cause your movies and your acting skills are both crap. Your movie straight the video, the box office can't stand. While I got myself a feature role in Spider-Man. You hide the man, but when I find you, it's on. And when I slam it to the dirt, you wish you was never born. I smell a coward. Is that you, Hogan? Macho's gonna kick your butt. This is a slogan. You tried to ignore me, thinking I'll go away. But I'ma keep on messing with you, dude, day after day. And once you step to Macho, you're through. The joke's on you, so Hulk, what you gonna do? Probably nothing, cause you're a real big punk. You call my dad up on the phone, man, use a chunk. Cause if you really got static, take it up with me. And I'll punk your butt out for the world to see. Be a man, Hulk. Come on, don't be scared. You're running from Macho, that's what I heard. So, you know, you got a friend with two syllable name. Like Brendan, be a man, Brendan, because you got Hogan. And then if you got a friend with a one syllable name, be a man, Hulk. Be a man, Pat. You know, go for either one.
Man, that's like a really like hard diss track. Like, I mean, if you understand, like if you're a wrestling fan, like, yeah, like I just feel like, wow, that was really well done. Like, written.
It was. He worked with like rappers and producers and stuff. And you know, it's funny, after this podcast, the next one is about the Macho Man album. That's what the topic of it is.
So. Oh, nice.
It's perfect. I'm doing two podcasts about Macho Man's album today. Or Macho Man.
Yeah.
So you can see how that could be really funny if you're drunk and stuff in college.
Yeah. For sure.
I mean, that was funny and I'm not drunk in college.
And people say like it holds up. Like, you know, a lot of rap now is like mumbling and stuff. And you can hear every word and understand every word Macho Man's saying.
I'm not, you know, familiar with all the lore and all that, but this is like a legit like diss track. Like there really was beef between.
There was beef. Oh, okay. I forgot why. Yeah, there was some beef. Apparently they patched it up at the very end before he passed. They saw each other at the doctor's office.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. I think Macho Man was taking his mom to the doctor and Hogan was going himself and they saw each other in like the waiting room and patched up. That's the story at least. Yeah, Macho Man went on this whole campaign of doing interviews saying, like, I challenge the Hulkster to a charity match, you know, boxing match, you know. All the money goes to charity, any charity, you know, kids with cancer. I guess Hogan has a problem with kids with cancer. And he kept saying that. Like,
oh my God.
Like, I don't know what his deal is. I don't know what they did to him, but he's got a real problem with cancer kids. Yeah. Nah, Hogan did not bite.
That's clever. Denise, if you had to make a diss track, like, Ooh. Who would you pick a beef with or...
Oh, I don't know.
I feel like you're a hater, so I feel like it'd be pretty easy for you to
I am.
Start beef with anybody. Start beef with the neighbor about all the parking
situation that we got
going on. Be a man, Ted.
Park in your own driveway.
Don't double park.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah. You're that's double parking, that's what I heard.
Yeah. good times.
Oh, and when that first came out, the album, I went online and tried to find footage of it, and there is none. And there was a message board, and people were like, "Oh my God, Macho Man just played his rap album last night at Pleasure Island Disney World. It was so bad. It was so cringe. Like this whole write up is just awful."
Oh,
I and also while we're at it, uh-huh. he he did some guerrilla marketing at the time. Do you remember how, you know, MTV had TRL and BET had their own, which was called 106 in Park?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Well, anyway, Macho Man and his producer just show up in the crowd, like go to see the show. And obviously they go to them and back and forth after every commercial, like, Macho Man, what'd you think of this song? Oh yeah, this is good. Yeah, we're counting down. This is the number six song. And he's interviewing people sitting next to him and they're just so like, oh, this is weird. Like awkward. Yeah. It's hilarious. But unfortunately, it's owned by Paramount and BET, and it costs $3,000 a minute to license. So I have a screener. If I ever show it, I'll probably get sued and everything. Mm. But it exists, and it's awesome.
Oh, my gosh.
Dang. Yes. How'd you find that?
I heard about it on message boards online that it existed, and then I reached out to Paramount, and I was like, hey, I'm interested in licensing this. And then they sent me a screener and told me the price, and I was like, oh, boy. I was like, yeah, I don't know about that. That doesn't work for me, brother. Yeah, I also have Macho Man reading The Night Before Christmas to children in Florida. Yeah, for like the Steinbrenner Foundation. It's pretty cool. I'm gonna buy that one for December, though. That one's a little bit decently more priced, so the world needs to see that. He's cracking jokes and stuff. It's awesome.
Dang, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool that you have all this like memorabilia.
A lot of lost media, yeah.
Yeah. That's awesome. So with that, I guess we'll move on to the final song of the episode. And we have a joke here at the house. Ooh. That I was in college forever.
Yeah.
So there's a pretty wide time frame that I could have gone with. I could have gone anywhere from like 2003 all the way to 2015 with this song or whatever. But the band that I really associate with my early years at East LA College, go Huskies, is The Shins. And I came late to the party like always. I didn't find them until I rented Garden State on Netflix back when.
Ooh, I turned that off. I saw it on a plane. the start of the plane crash, and I'm like, I can't watch this.
Yeah, that is true. Yeah, back when Netflix would still send you like a DVD in the mail and all that.
Oh wow.
So yeah, that's the. So my first new album by the band was 2007's When Seeing the Night Away, and I'm sharing the track Turn on Me, which is a song about emotional difficulties of a strained relationship. So yeah, okay, good cool. times.
Heavy topic, yeah.
Freaking love that song. I love the opening line. You can fake it for a while, bright your tongue and smile. Wait, I said bright.
Bite I closed your... my eyes so I can hear the words.
Yeah.
ADHD, I'm like, I have to.
Yeah. You gotta focus on it. Bite your tongue and smile like every mother does an ugly child. So yeah, I'm just like, oh man. So since I'm here with two educators, I thought I would kind of use educator language, and it's just like the perfect topic sentence. Yeah. You know, where it just like immediately grabs your attention, or at least it does for me. And then,
absolutely. Is this a song you listen to after a breakup in college?
No. It was just.
Or reminds you?
No. It just reminds me of like those times. Yeah. Like the Shins is one of those other bands where like when I listen to them, it immediately puts me back in that place where I was.
That's cool.
Yeah. So yeah, it just reminds me of being at the ELAC campus, just waiting for my classes.
Oh, or like you if said I had a big ELAC. I was like, well, which? I was yeah, like, no, 2004, 2015.
Which one? Which trip?
Yeah.
So it reminded me of like, it's very upbeat. It sounded very upbeat, at least. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it's easy for me to not hear the lyrics and think that it's a very positive, like nice, easygoing song.
Yeah.
And I have that problem where I'll ignore lyrics. I'll hear it, but I won't put it together.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
But I was trying to focus on that. Mm-hmm. That was nice.
Yeah, I dig it. That's like one of those things where it's like, oh, it's a happy-go-lucky song. But then when you listen to it, you're like, oh, this is a little heavy. It's a little dark. Yeah. He's got some good jabs thrown in there. I love it. I think he's a great songwriter. And that's one of the reasons I love The Shins so much.
I just lumped The Shins, Postal Service, and Death Cab for Cutie all together.
Yeah,
I can't tell the difference. You could play him and be like, it's all the same.
Yeah.
Man, I never got into any of those. I feel like such a schlub. My favorite bands are Pink Floyd and St. Clown Posse, Metallica, kind of.
Oh, that's a nice mix, though. That's a nice mix. Yeah. Very eclectic. I like that.
Yes.
Any last comments, questions, concerns about the song?
No, it was good.
Yeah.
What is she holding? Is that a pen?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Because I have a notebook in front of me.
Oh, okay. I thought it was like a Bob Dole thing where you have to hold a pen. Maybe that's a dated reference. He always held a pencil in his hand when he was running for president. I don't know why.
Yeah. Oh, really? That's a fun fact.
Yes.
Well, I mean, you're a history teacher, right?
Yeah. World history, though.
Oh, okay.
Oh.
But I live through U.S., so it's enough.
Yeah.
Living through it is enough.
True.
Like that meme where people go like, I'm tired of living through once-in-a-lifetime historical moments.
Yes.
Like
yeah.
Yeah.
Or this is fine. Everything's fine. Everything's on fire behind them.
Yeah.
I think of that when I'm on a plane and there's turbulence.
All right. And then Denise has one final question for you. Take it away, Denise.
What's your question?
I mean, just because I struggle, so I don't even know how you do it. Like, I'm just trying to get to open mics, but how do you balance your full-time job, cosplay, and the social media content aspect of it all?
Well, summer off definitely helps. Like when it's summer, I'm like full-time, you know, and I'm doing like my page and World Wrestling Cosplayers and now on Facebook and stuff. Now, I try to meditate on the train ride to work.
Mm-hmm.
Metro North, which is like a nice train. Like memes, I'll make those late at night or on the weekends. I'll just get really in the zone. It's hard, man. I have so many videos, like thousands. So right now I don't have a lot of stuff that's finished. I'm just doing it like one at a time, like the day before or the day of. So I'll have my first two classes in the morning and then third period hits. And I'm like, all right, any copies or anything extra I got to do. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, all right, let's see what I got from Disney. And I'm going through videos. I'm like, all right, I can make this video into something. It's tough. And then, so I basically use my breaks to get my stuff done, grade papers, do whatever, send emails. And then I'm also doing social media stuff. So a thing that's a dilemma too is like, I got all these videos from like, you know, Hollywood Studios, my wife as Macho Man. It's like, do I post individual ones or do I do a compilation? Do I split them up? So like, it gives me anxiety trying to think about how to organize them. So I have to write down a list of everything I have really to look at them and cross stuff off. That seems to work best, but it can definitely be difficult. Sometimes I just make memes in like 2 minutes. Like I'll go to a folder where I downloaded promos off YouTube of old Macho Man clips and I'll find a funny thing he says and I'll be like, my reaction when or me when, and like it just strikes gold, man. Ideas just come to me, or if I'm meditating. But yeah, it can be tough to balance it out. I just make sure to never take any schoolwork or teacher work home with me.
Yeah. Oh, that's hard.
But
that's hard.
I'll be editing at the gym. I'm always editing. My wife's watching a show I'm interested in. Then she'll do her thing and I'll edit.
I try not to get too much into like the whole social media thing, even though it's counterintuitive because, you know, having a podcast, you'd think like, you're like, well, you want to get it out there. You want people to listen to it. You want people. To me, it just doesn't seem to make sense what catches and what doesn't. So like, have you experienced that at all where you work so hard on like a video and you're like, oh, this one's going to do.
Yeah. It sucks. Like I spent all plane ride back from Florida editing like all of our interactions, meeting Disney characters and stuff. And then I put it out and TikTok's like, 800 views, like total.
Yeah.
And it's tough. Or Instagram is like, oh, that's not wrestling. I don't care.
Mm-hmm.
So I noticed that for sure, especially TikTok or other ones. If it's a non-wrestling related clip that I thought was funny, like a police officer driving one of those pedicab rickshaws in New York City because he had to like move it or something.
Yeah.
So random stuff like that. Yeah, it just doesn't hit. If I'm at Dragon Con and I'm like, oh, like Jason Voorhees, but a Barbie version. I put that on my Instagram or TikTok. I'm like, nothing. So, but if it's a wrestling thing I worked a lot hard on, it happens. Yeah, it's daunting. I mean, I always remix stuff and I move on, but it's all about that first 3 seconds. And I'll second guess. I'm like, should I cut this? Should I keep it? Or like, I'll want to cut jokes and then I don't. And people are like, oh, that was great, this one. And I'm like, damn, I was going to cut that too. So that happens a lot. Like, somebody will like it, and somebody usually does. Yeah.
The organization of it is what I'm like struggling with now that I'm collecting more like footage. I'm trying to do these reels like with smaller businesses and stuff to try and like co-collaborate and stuff. But and yeah, that's where I'm just like getting lost. I'm just like, oh man, like I'm trying to like chunk it together and film it all at the same time.
Right.
But then if I forgot, or if like I know I'm throwing myself a luchador party for my birthday.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I forgot to like take shots of like when I went to go like buy the cake, but obviously like I can't go, like I have people picking up stuff the day of. So now I find myself going back like and filming the outside of the shop. And I was like, well, I got to remember where this is or whatever. So I was like, or I'm got to put it in a folder now, which I'm not used to.
Same, on your phone. Yeah. Every event gets its own folder.
Yeah. Oh my God. Yeah. I just gotta be good at that.
Yeah. You gotta get organized.
Yeah. Thanks for the tips.
That's awesome. Yeah. Like, but there, something funny will happen. And then I'm like, yo, let's do it again. Can we film that? And
oh my God.
Or just some stuff just won't get on camera. And it's like, all right, well, I'll remember it at least. Like, I was walking by, I don't know, you know, Toni Storm, timeless Toni Storm, she's the AEW champion. She's one of the most popular female wrestlers right now in the world. And her gimmick is that she's a timeless star from the 1920s or so. So when she comes out, it's in black and white. Yeah, look her up real quick.
Yeah.
She has this whole character where she's just living in the past. It's great. She doesn't break character. So I was at WrestleCon and I was walking by her and I go, well, there's my favorite actress of all time. And she goes, y'all, my favorite, everything. And then she walked off and I was like, ah, nobody filmed that. I'm like, but it was an awesome moment. It happened a lot too.
Oh man, but then that's gotta be hard too, no? Because you're kind of like,
I want to have fun. I don't want to make everything about film.
Right, you don't want to make everything into content.
I try to balance it out exactly. I get too obsessed with, like, I gotta get this, and I hate that. Or like I'll be at one event and then 3 days later I'm at a new one. So it's like, when am I gonna post this stuff from 3 days ago? And it's like stuff expires eventually because I'm posting old DragonCon stuff from last year, and Instagram's like, nah, this is old. And I'm gonna repost it like it's old.
Jesus.
It gets very busy, especially in the months of October. October is the craziest with Comic-Con and everything, and Halloween.
Wow.
And it's a spooky theme, so we have some new characters coming up this month as well.
Nice.
Yeah, meditation helps too.
I was gonna ask because I know you do like the combination. Like, what's the Beetlejuice one?
Oh, Macho Juice. Yeah, I gotta do it again. Yep, bringing it back.
Have you done Macho Libre?
I have not. I've met many Nacho Libres. I don't think I've seen a Macho Libre yet.
Oh, I was
but
like,
I would
you
have to take my
one.
Shirt off. I'm not ready for that. <getting close. laughs>
Well, I feel like you could still wear your Macho Man shirt, but just do
That's
like
true.
The chonies and the blue and red or whatever.
But then it's like, I'm not Mexican, so like, can I still do that?
I mean, the way they got around that in the movie was that he was halfway
Jack Black's
Mexican.
Not Mexican either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's an exception. Jack Black.
Yeah, there's loopholes.
Yeah, yeah. That's true. I used to get Jack Black all the time my first 2 years teaching.
Oh,
anytime
really?
Anytime there was a white guy with a beard and longer hair, they'd be like, oh, look, it's the teacher. There he is. There he is. Anytime there's a guy with hair like that.
Yeah, yeah.
Central Park. There's you. Or Undertaker. It was, when I was in Harlem, I would just get the most bizarre comparisons.
All right. Well, if you made it this far, thank you. We know there are a million different ways for you to spend your free time, and we just want to thank you for spending a few of those minutes with us.
Oh, it was fun.
Aaron, if people want to get a hold of you, if they want to check out all the different spots you're hitting up, how can they do that?
Check me out. The Machoverse, one word. It's like the multiverse, like the Spider-Verse, but it's the Machoverse. Some appearances coming up. We have New York Comic Con, October 10th. I am hosting a wrestling cosplay meetup at 1:30 p.m. at Comic-Con, inside of Comic-Con. And I might be hosting a look-alike party the Thursday night of Comic-Con. I'll be there all 4 days of Comic-Con.
Oh,
all different types of Macho Man. I don't even think I'm going to be actual Macho Man at all. It's going to be all variations and mashups. So look for me. October 18th, I'll be in Poughkeepsie, New York at the Nashawat Center, formerly Mid-Hudson Civic Center, for Awesome Championship Wrestling. I'll be there. I'll be hosting, I think, the costume contest. It's apparently what I do these days. Look for me. I'm everywhere. Halloween, maybe 90s Wrestling Con. I don't know. I need a break, though. So And check out the World Wrestling Cosplayer. That's our other page that I am the admin on.
We'll have links to everything in the show notes. So if whatever device you're listening to this on, just head over to the show notes.
Hopefully I have a website by then. A lot of things. I don't know how I'm still a teacher and doing all these things. Check out the wrestling cosplay group on Facebook that I moderate as well.
Oh, damn. Yeah.
Facebook's the worst. Can't read the comments.
Ever. Yeah. Denise, if people want to get a hold of you and share some of their favorite college songs or Halloween costume ideas or whatever else they got going on, how can they do that?
It's at DeeferMusic, DeeferMusic Music on Instagram. My EP should have released by now. Rod, did you finish that? I don't know.
Only time will tell.
Seriously. It's called Extra. We had some last minute changes. So it's the possum with holding the little guacamole. What is it called? What's the little smushy thing?
Nacho Libre. No.
I can't remember what it's called, the musher thingy.
Oh.
It's called something in Spanish. The mocajeta, my bad.
Mocajete,
The mocajete with the guacamole, and it says extra. It's a little possum on it. That's going to be the cover. It's got trumpet on there featuring Caesar and Seaflow doing some backup vocals. It's very interesting. It's not for you, it's for me. I just wanted to have some fun and record some dumb shit with my friends. So
what it's all about.
for show. And if you want to get a hold of the show, email is the way to go. feedback@lppod.com or find us on Instagram @thelppod. And if you want to check out even more podcasts produced by us here in our home, head on over to talkingisheart.com. Aaron, thank you again so much for your time. We know you're a busy guy. You got another podcast lined up.
It was a unique podcast. I was excited to go on it. It wasn't like, what's your favorite Macho Man match? And I'm like, the one before I was born.
We tried to mix it up.